reflect on our culture. You know, being anything anymore is being attacked. And right now, it's just, you can be whatever you want to be. In fact, one of my grandsons for a while was into being a cat. And mom took him to the chiropractor, and he was being a cat that day, and he said, well, just let him be what he wants to be today. He'd probably be back to a boy tomorrow. And he was, but he was a cat then a couple days later. He's grown out of that, I think, probably into something else now. But it's humorous, but it's not, because it has created an attack on our culture. It has created an attack on what God has created. And so the title of my message this morning is 10 Characteristics of a Godly Woman. And then I also put /mother in there because we do want to honor our mothers today. But in thinking about that, the subtitle that I gave this was Embracing Womanhood. And so today I'm going to talk to every female in this room. Not just the mothers. Every female. Because I do believe that in today's society and in today's culture, if we are not careful, that will bleed in to who we are, and it will bleed into how our children are affected. Recently, I was on a Zoom call with a group of brothers, and we always start our time together just sharing a little bit of what's happening in our personal lives. And the one who is a school teacher and lives in New York City was talking about, I think his daughter is maybe 13, somewhere early teens. And she's really struggling right now. And one of the things that she's really struggling with was the fact that she's white. And I was like, how did we get here where it matters what you are? How did we get to where it matters what race you are? We're people. We should all, it doesn't matter. And it's the same way with how God created us. He created us male and female. And He created us that way for a reason. He created us in His image. And so for you girls, for you women, I want you to understand that God created you the way He did, and He created you for a purpose. And that purpose, you don't know what it is right now, maybe. Maybe you do. For you mothers, your purpose today is to raise your children and to do it with everything you have. And I want you to learn to embrace that. We're going to look at Proverbs 31, the last part of the chapter this morning. And I realize that this chapter, this passage of Scripture, talks about finding a wife of noble character. And I actually thought about taking the word wife out of it, but then I got into trouble really quick in the next verse. So I was like, well, okay, so I'm gonna let you pretend while I read. But I do want you girls and you singles to think about this more than just him talking to a man about finding his wife. Now, there's a couple different ideas about who Solomon was talking to here. I'm not going to get into that. It does say the sayings of King Lemuel. There is an idea that Solomon was talking to his son Rehoboam, I think, and giving him some advice on looking for a wife. But I want you ladies to just put yourself in, all you females, I want you to put yourself in this chapter, no matter where you are in life and what's happening in your life. Because I want you to understand that there's 10 characteristics that we're going to look at in this passage that Solomon talks about that are things that are very, very important in who you are, in embracing who you are as a woman. Starting with verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The first one that I see here is she is industrious, and that is in verses 13 to 18, and then verses 24 and 25. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the tasks. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. Then jumping down to verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Solomon here is describing a busy woman. And I know that if you're a mother, that pretty much describes your life. It may not describe it exactly in that you may not be out buying land, you may not be milking the goats, you may not be shearing the sheep, but your life is busy. And some days you wonder, what in the world did I accomplish? What happened today of any value? At my house, there's magic that happens all the time. I put on clothes, I make them dirty, I put them in the corner, and they come back right to my drawer. Clean, folded, ready to go. Not always the next day, but you know what I mean. And I don't always think about that. But it is something that we as men need to be able to honor our wives. And sometimes we need to do it for them. But a woman who is busy is not always busy doing her own things. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. There's more of that here. But she is someone who always has something to do. Paul talks about it when he talked about the women who didn't have anything to do, becoming busybodies, getting into other people's business, not paying attention to their own things. And he said that's not good because it will cause problems. But Solomon here tells his son, Look for a woman who's willing to work, who is willing to take care of her family, whatever it is. The second one actually comes from Proverbs 19, verse 14. It's the only one that doesn't come out of here. And it says, house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. The second one is, she is prudent. And this is a quote that I picked up from one of my commentaries. I'm just going to read it because it really describes this verse. Houses and riches are inheritance from fathers. Any man, worthy or not, may inherit property from progenitors. Any man may bargain for a wife or give a dowry to his son to further his matrimonial prospects. But a prudent wife is from the Lord. She is a special gift of God, a proof of his gracious care for his servants. Proverbs 18:22, it is by the Lord that a man is matched with a woman. And then this writer goes on to say, there's special providence that watches over wedlock. As we say, marriages are made in heaven, but marriages of convenience, marriages made in consideration of worldly means, are a mere earthly arrangement and claim no particular grace. So the second characteristic of a godly woman is that she is prudent. She knows what to do with what she's given. And sometimes she may not be given as much as what she thinks she could use, but she knows what to do with it, and she knows how to take care of it and spend it on the right things. The third one is, she is wise and understanding. Proverbs 24, I was wrong. I said that was the only one, not in chapter 31. I think there's two. Maybe I'm wrong again. She is wise and understanding. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That is Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. It seems there that Solomon is writing to his son Rehoboam in chapter 24. While the husband and wife are co-equals in a marriage and home, they have different roles. They are a team. A godly wife or woman builds her home with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. She is compassionate. Verses 19 to 20 in chapter 31. She puts her hand to the distaff and holds her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. A godly woman is selfless. Not only does she prioritize care for her husband and children, not only is she knowledgeable, wise, and understanding of God's specific call on her life, but she invests her time in others and is not self-absorbed. She is compassionate for those around her, as illustrated by her care for the poor and needy. And she understands the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, when he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. A godly woman looks at others as more important than her. This next one is interesting. She is classy. And that is taken from verses 21 and 22. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Then verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. And then verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Her appearance reflects internal decorum, discipline, and dignity. She gives and cares for the occasion with a view of her husband's position. She is not distractive, nor does she fight for the limelight. Because she is habitually and characteristically industrious, wise, understanding, giving, and a good steward of their resources, fine clothing is affordable and an appropriate priority. These characteristics telegraph the evidence of God's blessing and grace as a reward for faithfulness, selflessness, and the care of others who are less fortunate. In other words, she has class. The next one is she is kind. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The word kindness here has the underlying meaning of deeds of devotion, favor, and loveliness. It carries the same idea as the New Testament word for love in where it talks about unchanging and unconditional graciousness. So she is kind. She is a person who is gracious, even when things aren't the best. She can handle herself well. Her speech is flavored with tenderness and mercy. She is not rigid and legalistic. She is not self-centered, harsh, or gossipy. She is kind and gracious. She is genuine. Verses 11 and 12. She is trustworthy. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Verse 23. She is valuable. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Proverbs 18, verse 22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Chapter 31, 23, I just quoted that. Chapter 31, verse 10, an excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. In chapter 12, verse 4, Solomon says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. She is faithful. Verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Give her something to do and she will make something out of it. It may not be much, but she will do her best. And number 10, she is praiseworthy. Verse 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Proverbs 11:16. A gracious woman attains honor. And today, I want to honor all of you women. I want to honor you mothers, grandmothers, young girls, singles. We honor you. You are created in God's image. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. I'd like to challenge you this morning from 2 Timothy 1:5, where Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's talking about his grandmother and mother. And he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. This morning, I want to say this. Every one of us are created for a special purpose, and today the attention is on mothers and women and girls. It is no secret that God created man to carry the primary responsibility in the home. But God gave you the privilege to foster and form the character of the next generation. A godly woman who invests in her family or others benefits not only from her husband, not only her husband and children, but society as well. And when I look at the generations in my family, and I see how that has been passed on, and how it is being passed on. Today, it doesn't matter if you're a mother or not. If you're a young person, and you're really not at a place where you can do some of these things yet, God has given you a special role. And that role is to mentor, to nurture, and to encourage. And sometimes he will give you something to do where you may not understand it. And it may be difficult. And I know that if you have small children, and especially 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds. Some days are tough. But you know what? They will grow up. I can promise you that. And your goal is to help them grow out of that 2-, 3-, and 4-year-old attitude. That is your goal. You have a high calling. And I want you to think about how you do this can affect not only your legacy, but the legacy of our culture, the legacy of our community, the legacy of all those around us and those that they will impact. I call you to embrace that calling to the glory of God. Scott, do you have a song? 66 in the Faith and Praise. You can stand. Father, this morning we are so grateful for the scriptures that we can look at and that we can honor all of our women today. The young girls, the singles, mothers, grandmothers, small children. And I just pray that you would help us as parents, as grandparents, as mothers, as fathers, as a church, to help our children embrace what you've called them to embrace being women of God. I pray for each woman here today, God, in the calling, the special calling you have on their lives, wherever it is, whatever it is, whether it's here now, whether it's in the future, whether they've already gone to retirement and are less involved in children's lives, to understand that you have created them with a special role and a special purpose. And today, as we honor them, we pray that you would help us not only to honor them today, but to honor them every day. Thank you for these reminders. And I pray today that you would go with us this week. Help us, Father, to portray, to realize the importance of each of our roles and that you have created us for a special purpose. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.